This Moses was an interesting character.
He was.
You know, when I see that he went through this divorce with Zipporah, and yet he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that just about blows me away. And then we look at some other things in the Old Testament. You have some scriptures in Numbers, don't you?
Yes. I was saying that in Numbers 12:1, we see here that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman. And some of your translations would say Ethiopian woman, but she was a dark-skinned woman whom he had married. Some translators say Zipporah was the Cushite or Ethiopian, but here he'd been married to Zipporah for many years already, had two sons from her. Why weren't Miriam and Aaron upset with him then? But they weren't. This was a brand new relationship, and they did not think very highly of it. And this is at the point where Miriam, Darren, you were bringing that out in class the other night, she had leprosy because she came against the anointing of God. Well, she questioned.
Yeah, she challenged Moses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And basically they were saying, well, we're just as anointed as he is.
Mm-hmm. And they put him down because they thought he should not be married to this other woman. But I believe Moses did it properly, and I believe he did it according to God's law, and I believe that God honored that.
Now, the reason I agree with you on that, Barbara, is God chastised Moses when he didn't go by his ways when it came to circumcision.
That's right.
Okay, now, had he violated the law of divorce,
good point,
that he himself, Moses himself, was commanded to give, and then he commanded the people, said, now, this is the way, if you're going to have a divorce, here's the way it's to be conducted.
Mm-hmm.
I believe had he violated that, God would have chastised him again.
That's right. And we see in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 16, also in Isaiah 50, verse 1, and in Jeremiah 3:8, God himself married and he divorced, but he did it according to his law. He gave Israel a certificate of divorce.
According to his ways.
According to his ways and laws, yes.
Well, I don't believe that Moses would have been on that Mount of Transfiguration during that very special moment.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you, that's one of the high points of the New Testament. When Jesus was transfigured right before his disciples, and he'd been asking them even in Matthew 16, who do people say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some say Moses, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did I quote that accurately? Matthew 16.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, here is this very special moment where the spirit world and the natural world are coming together, and they can see this with their physical eyes.
Yes.
Now, if this man would have been on God's blacklist, he wouldn't have been there.
I believe that. And I believe this is a point where Jesus was really glorified when Father God said, you know, you have done well, my son. And they saw the Father speaking to the Son. Oh, what a moment.
They heard the Father.
They heard the Father speaking to the Son.
I think that is so, man, I'll tell you. To hear the Father's voice on top of that mountain, and then right away they got blessed. Oh, let's build three tabernacles here, because it was such a special moment.
I think
it kind of blew them away on every dimension of their personalities and their spirit and the whole circumstance.
Oh, I agree. So after being sidelined here for a little while with Moses, let's go back to Matthew 19, and we'll cover verse 7 and 8 again, just for clarity. He said to them, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give her his certificate of divorce? So this commandment was not a sin. And then verse 8, he said to them, because of your hardness of heart. Here he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he was saying that because of man's sinfulness, Moses permitted you to send away your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And what he's really saying is, my Father, my God, never intended for marriage to be this way, but because of your hardness of heart and your stubbornness, and we're going to talk about the causes in the next teaching that we do, in the next message, Darren, causes of divorce.
Okay.
Those are the sins.
Now, you were given permission to digress a while ago.
So need to have your day in court.
Let's take the hardness of heart and the traditions of men of the present church. Okay, and it's kind of a broad stroke here. What would they have done to Moses had he been divorced in a modern context?
Oh, my goodness. He would have been allowed to give his money and come and sit in the pew and listen. But I dare say he would, in some denominations, he would not even be allowed to teach Sunday school. This great leader, this great prophet who wrote a lot of the Old Testament, he would not have been allowed to do it.
Now, would he have been allowed to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?
I don't believe so, no. Because, Darren, even yourself, you have gone to some leaders in this city and have asked, can I have a position of teaching in your church? And they said no. And because
because of the divorce in my past, they'd say, well, you can't be an elder, you can't be a deacon.
That's right.
And I said, well, could I speak in your church? Yes, but you couldn't be an elder. Well, I really don't think they were completely honest with me when they said, well, you can speak. And I noticed they haven't invited me to come. But with Moses, with Moses here, I believe he would have been sidelined.
Mm-hmm.
And here was a man that saw the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
Here was a man that had that marvelous rod.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw 10 marvelous works of God manifestations there as he was leading God's chosen people out of this nation.
Yes.
And he was leading this tiny nation. It was the first time a little nation had ever been raised up inside of a big nation.
Mm-hmm.
The little nation conquered the big nation.
That's right.
And they left in this marvelous thing called Exodus.
Mm-hmm. We even see in our own life, Darren, when we were on television, the fact that we were blessing people, people were coming to know Jesus, they were being baptized in the Holy Spirit over television. We prayed with many people. We saw 21 pastors come against us. We were really, truly minding our own business. We were a parachurch organization.
Right.
We were not connected with any
into
church.
Churches.
we were recommending churches for these new
believers. Well, people were
believers.
Getting born again and spirit-filled.
And 21 pastors from this area. So we know what that pharisaical attitude has done to people with great giftings. They really wrote letters to LaCie. They wrote letters to...
To the network.
To the network. And for that reason, we were...
We were in trouble.
We were in trouble.
But you know something, God is the one that you have to get your ordination from.
Absolutely.
God is the one that you get your calling, your gifting from. And if he has called you, then that has to be the end of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go with that every time.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think about Moses here, this very gifted man. And he was highly educated, called by God, ordained by God, and yet he'd gone through a divorce. Now, had this been such a big deal, in God's eyes, Moses would not have been used that way. He might have been in biblical history, but I don't believe he would have been used as he was used, and certainly wouldn't have been on that Mount of Transfiguration.
Well, and another man that we can talk about who was highly of God and a very visible figure in the history of the church. In fact, Jesus is called the Son of David. And it was David who committed adultery, which was an actual sin.
Listed in the Ten Commandments.
In the Ten Commandments. And yet God did not snatch him from his kingly position. He kept him as king of Israel and Judah. And I truly believe that's telling the church, when someone sins, if they confess their sin, if they repent, and David did, and so many people do repent, but the church does not recognize that repentance at all when it comes to divorce. They do not.
You know, I believe that if divorce was a sin that many people believe that it is, that 1 John 1:9 would still cover that.
Oh, absolutely.
If they went through that divorce and they said, God, I've sinned grievously, I ask your forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any place in the Bible that says that's the unforgivable sin and they wouldn't be forgiven.
That's right. Like one caller the other day says, oh, it was my fault. It was my fault. I asked forgiveness and I'm still working on it, but it was my fault. Well, when it is your fault, what you do is go to the Lord and confess those sins. Have a heart of repentance. Turn away from that wickedness, and he will forgive.
You know, if you got some people to be very honest, and you said to them, have you ever, ever, ever in your life lusted in your heart for another person, you know?
Well, maybe not even another person, another thing, business, homes.
Right, but there's been lust in your heart. Then would you admit that, according to Scripture, you committed adultery? Well, yes, Brother Darren, I believe I did. All right, now, would that adultery be equal to, say, a friend of yours that actually went to bed and consummated sex? Well, no, I don't think my adultery was as bad as his or her adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize that you're not, and I heard one pastor say, but you're not going to get some of these communicable diseases by lusting, as you might if you went to bed with somebody. But you know, Jesus just said, I think he just cut to the chase and he put it on right down on the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, if you lust after somebody in your heart, you have committed adultery.
That's right. It's registered in God's heart as a sin. Yes, when he's seen you do that.
I believe we need to get into the spirit, look at these things spiritually, and I believe that you have to read the Bible from a spiritual perspective. And Jesus said, if you're going to worship me, you must worship me not with your head.
That's right.
He said, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth.
Yes, John 4:24.
And
yes.
Jesus was always elevating these concepts, if you will, and these understandings to a spiritual plane.
That's right. So here in Matthew, we see that Jesus really put the Pharisees in their place. And in verse 9, he says, I say to you, whoever sends his wife away, that's sending her away without a certificate of divorce, except for immorality, and marries another woman, of course he commits adultery, because God sees him still married to that woman if he doesn't give her a divorce, a certificate of divorce. So sure, he commits adultery with that woman. How about remarriage, Darren? Is that permitted?
Well, according to Scripture, it is.
You got a good second marriage?
But yes, I have a good second marriage, and praise God for my second marriage. You know, we need to change our attitudes about this and take a good hard look at it and say, God, what are you really saying? And that's why we're doing this series of messages. And we found that as we dig into the Scriptures, that God just speaks more and more freedom into our lives and more understanding. And you know, I have to say this. When I was a pastor, I looked at, and this was a pharisaical spirit, but I looked at some of the divorced people in my congregation, and I say, why don't they just quit pouting around and get it together? I didn't have the compassion that I have now, looking back, having gone through the shredding myself and gone through the trauma of divorce. I didn't have that understanding, and I think that's the case with many pastors and teachers of the word, many priests. Until you've gone through it, you don't know what that does to a person, that it tears them right in half. But yes, the answer is God is a very healing God, a loving God, a merciful God, and he does allow remarriage.
That's right.
So let's find that in Scripture, Barbara, since we're remarried. You were a widow, but you're no longer a widow.
That's right.
I was divorced. I'm no longer divorced. I'm married.
That's right. And it says, you know, so many of the church people say, well, you were a widow, you were free to marry again. But if you're divorced, you're not free to marry again. Now let's see what the Word really says, Darren.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if we got what the Word said and not what the traditions of men say?
Yes.
And there is a Scripture that says the traditions of men make null and void the Word.
Yes.
And many people have done that with the teaching on divorce. Mm-hmm. They've made null and void the grace and mercy of God.
Yes. Well, the pivotal chapter here. The pivotal chapter is 1 Corinthians 7. And many of you have already, if you've been through divorce, you've read that chapter and over again, and you've tried to make sense of it. And sometimes if you just have a Bible that doesn't have any Greek or Hebrew, you're not going to find a real explanation for some of these translations. So in 1 Corinthians 7, we're going to start in verse 10. And unto the married I command. This is a chapter on the marriage. Yet not I, but the Lord. Now, sometimes Paul says, this is my opinion, not God's. So Paul was kind of stepping out there in the gray area when he says, my opinion. But he says, unto the married I command, not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Depart here is signifying her going without a divorce, Darren. And if she departs, she is to remain unmarried because she hasn't gotten a certificate of divorce to lose her from that husband. And, or she can be reconciled to that husband, restore the relationship after a separation period. And a lot of people we see today, they are in separation periods. They've departed for a while, that they feel like separation may be the answer. And sometimes, Darren, it is.
Sometimes it is.
It is. And reconciliation is wonderful. And I've seen some couples, they've actually divorced and they've reconciled later on and they've gotten remarried. Praise God for those reconciliations. But what about the wife or the husband who's received Jesus and that wife or husband has not? She is an unbeliever. And so the new believer is trying to live with an unbeliever. Those cause horrible ramifications in the family.
Well, and the reason for that is darkness and light cannot mix. You're from different kingdoms. You're from different planets, in a sense.
That's right.
Different worlds.
Yes. And it says here, she's reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband, apoluo, 630, send away his wife. This does not have anything to do with divorce. This is just separating, departing for a while, and then coming back together. And all through the New Testament, equal rights. God is a God of equality. He wants equal rights for both husband and wife.
Now, for those that don't have their notes in front of them, and by the way, you know this series has extensive notes in the Greek and the Hebrew and in the accurate renderings. But what verse are you speaking here out of 1 Corinthians 7 now?
It's verse 10.
I'm sorry
if I didn't clarify, right. But it's okay. Verse 10. Then we're going to go to verse 12. But to the rest, I say, not the Lord. Now, this is not the people that get reconciled, but it is to the rest of the marriages that are having problems. If any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, let him not send her away. Let them try to live together in unity. And now, I have seen some marriages do that, Darren.
You know, God is recognizing the choice of the person. Mm-hmm. If you agree on this, he's saying, I'll back your agreement.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you agree to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, he's also saying, in another context, if you decide to send either the wife send the husband or the husband send the wife, and you give the certificate of innocence, I will also recognize that.
That's right. Absolutely.
Not the church's decision, by the way. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not the priest, not the pastor, but that couple.
Yes.
God says, if you got the paperwork, I'll recognize that. That certificate of innocence, I'll recognize that as a divorce.
Well, and here in verse 15, it says, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him or her leave. The brother or sister, now this is the husband and wife of the one who left, is no longer under bondage in such cases, or is not under bondage. This means they are free from that oath they took. And I believe it's that marriage vow, Darren.
But you know, God is putting that decision there in man's hand.
He is.
And so many people in that try to teach on marriage or marriage ministries, oh, no, God's the only one. No, here, God is putting that in the hands of mankind. But he said, if you're going to do this, there's a certain way to do it.
That's right.
And you do it the right way, and it's okay.
You write a certificate of divorce. And in no way, we want to reiterate this, in no way are we making a divorce factory here or establishing a divorce scenario here. We desire for every marriage to be the marriage that God intended it to be. Covenant marriage, agreement marriage, a marriage by appointment, a harmonizing of the relationship, man and woman together. But when there comes a time when there's such a split, such a division, so much strife, Darren, rebelling against from one another, then there's time to look at what's God's intent here.
Well, and I think some people live in an absolute hell on earth.
Oh, yes.
It isn't good for the kids. It's not good for them. And over a period of time, their health is going to break down. That adds another dimension to the problem.
And like one book you read by C.S. Lovett, he said, if you're getting bitter in that marriage.
Instead of better.
Yes.
And it's starting. Now, here's one of the key factors. It's starting to affect your relationship with your Heavenly Father.
Oh.
Which is more important, hello,
yes,
than the
yes.
marriage, the earth marriage here between husband
yes.
and wife. Even if God brought you together in the first place. Now, God didn't bring every marriage together. Not every marriage that's performed in a church. It says in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not all of those have been called together by God.
That's right.
And I believe God is saying, I'm not in on this one. I didn't put these two guys together. Or I mean, this couple, not two guys.
Two guys.
This man and this woman together here.
Yes,
I didn't put
right.
them, certainly wouldn't put two guys together, would he? Nor two gals. Okay, we're not into that.
No,
folks. We make that real plain.
Oh, no, that is abomination.
We believe in husband and wife, man,
yes,
woman.
And woman.
Okay, we got
yes.
that straight.
So we're going to go to verse 27. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 7. We're still in that chapter. Verse 27.
Well, but just a minute, Barbara.
Oh,
I want to read
still,
this 15th
okay.
verse again.
Okay.
It says, if the unbelieving one leaves him, I'm sorry, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the key. But God has called us to peace.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
And
yes.
some people have such horrendous marriage situations. There's no peace in the home. There's no agreement in the home. And these relationships have got to where they're almost cursing God in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And God is really saying and implying, I don't want that. I want you to be at peace here.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to stand against the enemy of our souls, the devil, we've got to be in agreement and there's got to be peace.
Oh, absolutely.
And the devil loves confusion. He is the author of confusion.
That's right. Where two agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of my Father in heaven.
But you know, some of the traditions of men are so locked on the fact that we've got to keep this couple together at all costs, and they keep them in the hell they're in. And God has actually given them a way out, to solve the problem.
Oh, and the devil is enjoying every moment of this.
Some people are so pig-headed and hard-headed. I'll use pig-headed, that's my word, okay? But they have hardened hearts, hardened heads, stiff neck, and they're both, even in couples that are, both of them are Christian. They're both born again, but they're both so concerned and convinced that they're right and the other one's wrong, and they spend most of their time trying to get the other one to change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are such an untenable relationships that divorce is really the only option out there.
That's right. What if we had that kind of marriage? We were at each other. We were always trying to teach each other things instead of teaching the Word. We would probably 2/3 of our time be caught up in each other, focusing on each other instead of on God, on the Word of God that we were called to do.
Do you know some people, it says, if you hate a person, you have committed murder in your heart?
Yes.
Some people are living in murderous arrangements.
That's
they have
right.
murder in their heart toward
That's
their
right.
mate.
Yes. Oh, God help us.
Now, how can we hold them in there because of the traditions of men and say, you've got to stay together?
Oh.
And you know, some children have been raised in those homes. And they get out from under mom and dad, you know, they get too old to stay home, they leave, and they will tell you, I wish mom and dad would have divorced. We were raised in hell.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I would rather have had a single parent raise me or be split up between two homes than have all that fighting.
That's right.
We went to bed at night and we cried ourselves to sleep because mom and dad were out in the kitchen or the living room fighting.
Oh, and see, those spirits of strife, they are so prone to go into the children. When that kind of thing is happening, those children can be actually oppressed of those spirits that mom and dad are carrying around with them. Even I've read somewhere they were not only oppressed, they were demon-possessed because of the hatred and murder that their mom and dad had shown in the home.
Well, and I believe the reason for that is that's rare, but it's far too commonplace, whatever it is. When the children cry and when the children are traumatized by what's going on with mom and dad in this situation, and mom and dad say, we can't get divorced because the church will shred us and the family will kick us out, and on and on. These children open up their hearts and the demons move in many cases. You're right on. Mm-hmm. And then the kids get away from home. Do they want to go to church? No, they don't want to go to church. Do they run to Jesus for help? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do, mm-hmm. but a lot of times they don't.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, they just draw a line and say, I'm not ever going back to church.
That's right. Well, can we go to verse 27 here? Okay, verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 7. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. That means try to get along with her. And I don't like the word bound, but I'm not bound to you and you're not bound to me. We love being together. But I don't know why Paul put that word in there. But are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Seek not a wife and continuing, but if you should marry. And this verse, this word but is so important in this because it's a continuation of the sentence before. Are you released from a wife? Seek not a wife, but if you should marry, you might as well put, if you should remarry, you have not sinned.
Now, why do you say that, Barbara?
Because people have believed that this verse means married for the first time. This verse does not mean married for the first time. This means a man or woman that has been released, if they marry again, they have not sinned. That's what this verse truly means. Is this a first marriage? The obvious answer is no, because first marriages were an institution made by God.
Marriage was an institution
made by God. Marriage was an institution made by God. How could you sin if you got married?
But then it goes on to say, and if a virgin should marry, she has not sinned.
That's right.
That's your key right there. It doesn't say that marriage is a sin.
Yes,
at all.
Because if you marry in the first part of this verse, you probably are not a virgin anymore if you've married. But if you are a virgin in the second part, you have not sinned either. I mean, both situations are okay.
You know, and all through this chapter, Paul is talking here about husband and wife situations, what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, he's covering so many bases here.
And Paul wishes that all of us were single. He really does. He says in one part of this, he says, I wish you were all like I am, so you could devote your whole time to the Lord, focus on him totally and completely.
Now, what you're really teaching is a contextual understanding, and let me say what that means. You need to read the whole chapter. You need mm-hmm. to read verses before and verses after.
Yes.
And all Bible teachers, including myself, are guilty from time to time of just picking out a verse and quoting it. But here it's saying within the context here, but if you should remarry.
But if
you
should.
That's within the whole understanding of what it's saying here. But if you pick out one little verse, you can make it say that it's a real condemning message to those that have remarried.
That's right. Well, this has been exciting. We have some more scripture in the New Testament. I think we'll wait for the
next message. We'll do that in our next message.
We're going to be talking about elders. Can you be an elder?
Can you be
a bishop in the church if you've divorced? We're going to be talking about that and also the causes of divorce. That's what God really hates, Darren. We're going to find out what God hates, what he really hates, and what causes the divorces in this country and around the world.
You know, we've taken a couple weeks in our broadcast year and our teaching year here to talk about this divorce situation and remarriage. I should say it more accurately, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But you know, most of the time, the preponderance of our teaching is on and against those things that cause marital separation and divorce.
Right. That's right.
We're teaching. That's where the primary emphasis of this ministry is. So we're saying we're pro-marriage.
Yes, we are.
We're pro-happiness. We're pro-agreement.
Yes.
We're pro-word.
Yes. We want you to be blessed. We want you to have the most abundant life that Jesus planned for you.
Do you know why people really have problems, Barbara? They have such a low word level. They have such low knowledge or inadequate knowledge of God's word. Mm-hmm. That's why we push the power pack all the time, getting the word of God into people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, if you come some off the wall deal, we'll ask you what scripture you're standing on.
Yes, and that's sometimes embarrassing.
But you know, people do that to us also.
Yes.
So we have not put this teaching out with just our ideas. We put it based on scripture out of the original Hebrew and Greek. And we just believe it's being a blessing to you in freedom. And I sense the blessing of the Lord and the pleasure of Holy Spirit. And we're teaching this message of grace and mercy, bringing freedom to people's hearts. I think it's a great message to be taught today to the modern church.
Amen. And we hope you have found some new revelation in this and new freedom in this, and that you're going to tell some of your relatives, friends that have been judgmental and critical, would you please listen to these tapes? Would you please read this booklet that I have with an open mind? God bless you. We really love you. If you'll forward the tape, and we'll go on to the next message.